What is up, loved ones? Neighborhood Love Radio. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. I'm your host and selector this evening. Thank you so much for coming by. Come on in. This is my place. You have reached us, and we have reached you. And my guest tonight in the studio, Mr. Pep Williams. What's going on, dude?
Hey, Johnny. What's up, bro?
Not much.
Thank you, man, for inviting me.
Thank you for coming down. Pep, if you don't know it, apparel design, photographer, pro skater, skate shop owner, a couple other things. We're going to talk a little bit about growing up in L.A. and, you know, hustling to get the things you want and trying to give back to where you got from. I'm also going to play some music for you. I got, first up, I got Eli Paperboy Reed and the True Loves. The Satisfier is the name of the tune that I'm going to play for you. I'll follow it up with a classic from the Pointer Sisters. And then newish music from Thelonious Martin. Hope you enjoy. Started off the set with Eli Paperboy Reed and the True Lovers from their debut record, Roll With You, on Q Division Records. From Boston, Massachusetts, Eli Paperboy Reed. You just heard the Pointer Sisters, from the 1977 record, Having a Party, an overlooked LP, but solid, solid as fuck. And this is new-ish music from New Jersey, Thelonious Martin. Corners of Your Mind is the name of the tune from his LP, Wonder Kid. This is out on the Home Team label. Thelonious Martin, Corners of Your Mind was the name of that tune. From his new record, Wonder Kid, out on the Home Team label. Yeah. Sitting here with Pep Williams, we're just kind of chopping it
up.
Talking about
growing up.
Much, man. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
And as I mentioned earlier, this is, I knew the Pep Williams I knew, like as far as online stuff and his productivity, was mainly photography, and so I started looking into stuff. And like I said to him earlier, man, there's just all these onion layers started peeling off. And not just photographer, he was pro skater. And so not just a pro skater, he owns a shop, you know, down on Fairfax, right?
Yeah, down on Fairfax, called Psych Ward.
Psych Ward.
Yeah, at 332 North Fairfax, like right there at Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Psych Ward, yeah. I looked up on the Facebook page and I saw a lot of pictures of kids. It looked like everyone's kind of having fun with it.
Yeah, like the place, it's almost like they made it their home. Like after school, like they all come over there and they just hang out. And it's like really neat. But you can't skate unless you do your homework, which they lie. They say they did it, but they didn't. Uh-huh. But it's just a cool vibe, and it's a safe environment because in back of our shop, we have the space and the kids can just hang and just like skate and just talk, kick it, do what teenagers do.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
and they're there instead of
out in the streets, doing whatever, trying to find a place to go. But if you hang out there, you have to clean. You have to take out the trash, you have to sweep, then you can kick it. You know? So it's pretty cool.
That's cool, man. Because growing up and even nowadays still, I see there's a lot of really smart kids, you know, and they just get bored so easy.
Yeah. It's like I see the ones who are down there as well. you could tell that if that shop wasn't there, they'd just be drifting, just like trying to find something to get into. Maybe not bad, but you never know. But now at the shop, it's like totally almost like a safe haven, but it's not really, but it's still cool. Mm-hmm. And we have little obstacles. You can go skate. You can just kick it, man. You know, it's just a cool vibe because that's what we did when we were young. Like our parents would be like, all right, they're at the beach, but they're safe. Mm-hmm. You know, they're safe in Venice because my mom knew I was hanging out at the skate shop.
Yeah.
And everyone at the shop was like almost like a father figure coming up.
Yeah. What shop was that you're referencing?
That was Bronze Age.
Yeah.
Back on Pacific and Windward, like 1986,
yeah.
I believe it was. And then you had Roller Skates of America right on Windward, run by Steve Stendrowitz. I still remember the name, because he was a great guy.
So what came first, Venice or the skateboard?
The board came first.
Yeah.
Board came first, yeah.
And we'll get a little bit into your background a little bit later, but you grew up in around South Central LA.
Yeah, I came up in Florence, like when I was born, and then my parents moved to Watts, and then just went from there, just the whole rough stuff coming up. But because of my board, I always wanted to travel and go find new spots to go, like to go skate.
Yeah,
and you know, I made a fake bus pass, and I was going everywhere. I mean, from Anaheim to wherever the buses went, I would take it to the last stop.
Yeah.
And then it was cool.
One of the cool things about Los Angeles to me is, and I'm a native.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen all of Los Angeles yet. You know, I mean, it's not like you could come here for a week and see everything,
way.
Like I'm finding, every once in a while I end up in some little pocket, little neighborhood tucked away, you know, somewhere that I never seen before. And it's awesome. You know, it's pretty cool.
It's cool. Like back in the 70s, they used to have 70s and 80s, like in the phone book, there's a list of all the bus lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself, I'm going to ride every single bus line.
Oh,
and I would mark it off with a marker just to see where it went. And I went everywhere. And just so happened, I found Santa Monica in Venice one day because that was the last bus stop. And that's when that happened in 1984.
So being a youngster from Watts and the other areas, I'm guessing, and I was, you know, we're close to age, and I don't think you saw a lot of skateboards in those neighborhoods.
No, right? Actually, like, I didn't even know people, like, skated until I was 11. I never saw, like, another skater because my mom called it a toy.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, just go play with your toy, you know. But I just loved it so much, I never put it down. And then I was 11, and we moved to off of 97th and Clovis and Watts. And around the corner was a guy named John Conti. And he skated. And I was like, and then my mom was so funny. She's like, what's that 16-year-old man doing skating on a toy?
Yeah.
And I'm all, what are you talking about? It's not a toy. And she just didn't understand that you could, like, skate and be big. And, like, he was older. Like, I was, like, 11. So he was, like, a man, you know. But, yeah, but I just, you know, we hung out, and I learned from him and then went on, and I just grew and grew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So through skating, you met, skateboarding went hand-in-hand with a lot of things, like music.
Oh, yeah.
And apparel. And, like I said, we're close in age, so we both saw that emerge, you know, to where there's some specialized products here and there, like, you know, at your Bones 3 shirts or whatever, you know, but but whole clothing lines blossomed and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, especially now, it's like everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like, I went from like normal skate t-shirts to now.
You strike me as a kind of dude that gets a lot of free t-shirts.
I get a few.
So
I get a few.
You got involved with like I said, the merchandising and apparel folks and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, well, when it comes to that, I used to model for, like, a lot of different brands because I had a lot of sponsors coming up as a kid when they do fittings.
Being a professional skater.
Yeah, they would use me, be it to showcase it or whatever, to wear it, be it at a fashion show or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the fashion side kicked in. Then I started doing more and more fittings for different brands.
So how did Is that where you sort of found a love for photography?
Yeah, just totally random. One day, this one guy, what was his name? I forget, but he was a designer, and his photographer got double booked. Mm-hmm. And I found out that the job paid $6,000. And he's like running around crazy, like, I need a photographer. I said, I'm a photographer. And then he looked at me and said, what? He said, well, where's your portfolio? Like, I didn't know you shot. I said, we don't have time for that now. We have a deadline. Let's get it done.
You said that to him.
Like, yeah. And then he's all, you're right. We need this. And I'm like looking at this whole storyboard. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what I'm looking at. But I was just thinking that at every major shoot, your assistant does everything anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking I could just hire somebody. So he wrote the check out to me, and I hired an assistant.
So you subbed it out. Yeah.
Done.
That's pretty cool. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's been one of your main callings ever since. Yeah.
It's just so cool. Like, I did take a turn because I used to shoot for, like, high-end fashion brands, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of them. But then my work was beginning to look like every single photographer, because every season, every brand copies off every brand. So you're shooting just like this one, like that one.
It's a trend-based industry, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to have my own style, you know. And then from there, I just said, I'm not shooting that anymore. Only if I want, I'm going to shoot what I like.
Which is
like my friends, who are basically just like gangsters, drug dealers, mm-hmm. just that cool lifestyle stuff.
Yeah, loved ones. I mean, I have a little background in photography as well, and I could tell you straight up that, like, when people just look at one-on-one portraits, you know, portrait work or something, there is plenty of ways to fuck that up.
Yeah.
You know? And what I think I like about your stuff, Pep, is it can be a straight shot, but there's definitely a story going on. There's a one-panel story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's... And... just in the backgrounds that you choose, you know, and like, you know,
yeah,
with editing, you know, a little bit sometimes, but you can look at the dudes, and it takes a good photographer to be able to catch your, like, the miles on some dude's face, you know, and anyway, that's what I like about your stuff. Anyway.
Cool. You know? Thank you.
Yeah. So is that, would you say that's your main bread and butter, or?
I think my main thing, photography actually is a part of every aspect of like what I do, from the music business to this like skate to the fashion, because I shoot for like all of them, and it's all hooked up with my businesses I have in those different genres.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. You hanging out for a while? You want to hear some music?
Of course.
This is Muta Baruka and The Observers. Under Tight Wraps meets This Poem, produced by DJ Spooky. Enjoy, loved ones.
Kenyatta, Nkrumah, Hannibal, Atherton, Malcolm, Garvey, Haile Selassie. This poem is vexed about apartheid, racism, fascism, the Ku Klux Klan, riots in Brixton, Atlanta, Jim Jones. This poem is revolting against first world, second world, third world, division, man-made decision. This poem is like all the rest. This poem will not be amongst great literary works, will not be recited by poetry enthusiasts. It will not be quoted by politicians or men of religion. This poem is knives, bombs, guns, blood, fire, blazing for freedom. Yes, this poem is a drum, Ashanti, Ma, Igbo, Yoruba, Naya Pingi warriors, Yahuru, Namibia, Yahuru Sweto, Yahuru Africa. This poem will not change things. This poem needs to be changed. This poem is a rebirth of a people, arising, awakening, understanding. This poem is speaking, have spoken. This poem shall continue even when poets have stopped writing. This poem shall survive, you, me. It shall linger in history, in your mind, in time, forever. This poem is time, only time will tell. This poem is still not written. This poem has no point. This poem is just a part of the story. This story, her story, our story. The story still untold. This poem is now ringing, talking, irritating, making you want to stop it. But this poem will not stop. This poem is long, cannot be short. This poem cannot be tamed, cannot be blamed. The story is still not told about this poem. This poem is old, new. This poem was copied from the Bible, your prayer book, Playboy magazines, New York Times, Reader's Digest, the CIA files, the KGB files. This poem is no secret. This poem shall be called boring, stupid, senseless. This poem is watching you trying to make sense from this poem. This poem is messing up your brains, making you want to stop listening to this poem. But you shall not stop listening to this poem. You need to know what will be said next in this poem. This poem shall disappoint you because this poem is to be continued in your mind, in your mind, in your mind.
Get no supper tonight. A lot of people won't get no justice tonight. And the battle is getting hard in this Irish Armageddon tonight. A lot of people won't get no justice tonight. Remember to kick it off. No one will guide you along Gideon tonight.
The Clash, the only band that matters. LA's own The Lions. This generation is named the tune you're going to hear. They're playing tomorrow night. 8 at Alex's Bar. LA's own The Lions. This generation to name the tune from the This Generation record on the Stones Throw label. As I mentioned, they're playing tomorrow night, May 8th at Alex's Bar. Go check them out. It's a good live show. Prior to that, we heard The Clash, the only band that matters, with Armageddon Time. And we start off the set with Muta Baruka and The Observers. Under Tight Wraps meets This Poem is the name of that tune. From the Creation Rebel, Trojan Records remixed. Produced by DJ Spooky. Yeah. That brings us right up to present time. Sitting here with Pep Williams.
What up?
Yeah, what's going on? So we're talking a little bit about photography and just kind of coming up in that world, which isn't easy. especially now in the digital age. What did you start shooting with in your earlier days?
Oh, I miss it. I used to shoot with the Nikon F4, which was just a basic 35mm, but I also shot medium format.
Yeah.
And I shot with a Hasselblad. I forget which one.
That's where it's at, man. Nice big fat prints and like
shooting,
colors.
Shooting the Polaroid, I mean, light meters. I mean, it was cool as a process just to get one shoot or one shot.
I still got a couple of the Polaroid pack film cameras.
Wow.
And I think Fuji doesn't make the 3000 anymore, which bums me out.
Wow.
Because that was a lot of fun.
My favorite camera, I have to say, was the Nikon F5. Mm-hmm. It was so fast, and it was just it was a part of my hand. It was weird. It was just so perfect. But
do you have to shoot digital now?
I actually just prefer it because it's just so much easier, and it's like it's quick. Like you're shooting, and as you're shooting, you could actually be sending it to a client in Japan. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just makes it that much easier compared to like the film. All right, cool, we shot it. Now let's see what we got.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the processing.
Yeah, film is much more fun.
But film is fun. But film, you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, but if you got people waiting on you, I guess.
And like everyone now is like rush, rush, rush. And I think that's why I shoot so fast, because back then you had 12, 24 and 36 frames per roll. So you better get it, because that's like 10, 15 bucks a roll. So you're like, real specific.
And so you're sort of, how can I explain this? You're not a gangster, right? You don't strike me as a gangster.
No.
But you are a child of Los Angeles.
Yeah, just basically that's how we came up. Like pretty much everyone was associated or affiliated because you had to be. You know, you had no choice.
I feel the same way. I mean, it can't be a fact because I know people that grew up and they got no affiliations. They didn't know, you know. I don't know how they did that because, I mean, that's growing up in L.A., everyone, you know, what do you say? Everybody in L.A. has got a little thug in them. Like, do you not have friends?
I mean, you had no choice.
Yeah.
You literally had no choice. Either you was going to get beat up every day or like, join a gang.
Yeah.
That was it.
But I've been pretty lucky enough to have some friends, you know. But that works its way out in just style, street style, you know, what I like to call just street level style, you know, with your clothing, with the artwork, you know, in your eye, and, you know, car culture and music and stuff like that.
Definitely.
You know? You into cars?
Love cars.
Yeah.
Love them. Yeah, they're so cool.
Yeah, I think on your Facebook, on the header part of this.
That car is called the Gypsy Rose, the world famous Gypsy Rose. That car used to get me in trouble when I was 5 years old because I used to draw it in class, like that exact car, because it came on during the credits of Chico and the Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that old TV show. And the 64 Impala is the easiest car to draw because it's just lines and like a couple curves in the front and the back. So I draw it sitting in class, and my teacher would always just totally take it away because I was just obsessed. And I didn't even know the color of the car until about, I guess, 1979. And that's when I saw like a color TV. I was like, I think it's pink. I had no idea. And I've met many celebrities all over the world, everything. But the only time I was just really just shocked and like, whoa, was when I met that car. It was just like, this is the car.
You're starstruck over a car.
Totally.
Yeah, that's
totally.
Cool. 100%. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a event coming up, L.A. Story.
L.A. Story. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that deals a little bit with the lowrider culture, right?
Yeah. L.A. Story is an event. Actually, my friend Antonio Pileo, he actually created the event, and I'm actually going to curate the show.
Yeah.
And basically what it is, it's it'll be the largest lowrider art photography show in LA that's ever been, basically. And you have different car clubs from all around LA. But the thing that's going to make this show different is that it's actually going to be the cars from back in the day. Like the cars that cruised down Whittier Boulevard, cruised on like Slauson, in the 70s, you know, like early 80s. So we're selecting certain cars because I believe it's going to be no more than 16 cars, but the Gypsy Rose is going to be the main car. And it's going to be just really, yeah.
It's gonna That's going good. Down in July.
July 25th.
Yeah, Los Angeles in the summertime, man. Can't be that. Where is that event at?
There's a park called Lincoln Park, and it's in, like, East L.A., and it's going to be located at Plaza de la Raza. Yeah. And it's, like, a little section of Lincoln Park. It's right by the water. Like, there's a little lake.
It's really pretty. It's really nice.
Super cool, man.
They've done a lot of work in that area to kind of keep it nice, and that's cool. It shows it's a great place to keep bring out the family.
Oh, dude, it's going to be so packed. You got to come. Yeah. Gotta come down.
I'm out that way all the time anyway, going out to eat.
So
let me make sure, because we're going to wrap up pretty soon. I want to cover, you got Psych Ward Skate Shop.
Psych Ward.
That's over on Fairfax.
332 North Fairfax.
And if I can walk in there, there's obviously skateboard equipment, accessories.
Yeah.
Apparel, stuff like that.
Just come hang. Just come kick it.
Come skate
in the back.
You can skate?
Yeah.
Let me in, as long as I finish my homework.
Gotta finish your homework, or at least say you did it.
At the LA Story Lowrider Show.
Lowrider Show.
And that's going July. Down July 25th.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Lincoln Park in East LA.
Yep.
That sounds like a fun day out. Yeah, I'm going to come down with my kid. And we can also look for, man, dude, you're all over the place online, dude. Facebook. Well, you got a distinctive name, so that it's easy for people to find.
Pep
Williams.
Yeah.
You can find you on Facebook, Instagram, mm-hmm. and also, what is it, Pep Williams Photography?
No, it's pepwilliams.com.
Pepwilliams.com. Okay. Yeah. That's way easy. Yeah. And you could go on there. You can see
some worldwide. Cool stuff.
Yeah, worldwide celebrities, local LA celebrities, you know, Triggs. And,
yeah, my brother, man.
Yeah, rest in peace. As well as just general LA culture, man, street life, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing harsh, just what we celebrate, you know, and if you grow up in LA, you know?
Exactly.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming down.
Oh, bro, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You want to hang out and listen to some more music?
Oh, man, I'm here to the end.
Okay, good. All right. Let's see him. Orgone. You know those fools?
Who?
Orgone. Orgone comes from the San Fernando Valley, man. They're just, as their name implies, just organic. You know, just pure funk, soul. Like, they're a great live show. Mm-hmm. I'd recommend go see them.
That sounds cool.
Anyway, they got a new record out, but this is actually an older one off their Cali Fever record out in 2010 out on the Ubiquity Recordings label. Name of the tune is called Overtime. They're playing June 20th at the Telegram Ballroom.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to wear my new blue sharkskin suit.
Or a Psych Ward t-shirt.
One of your many free t-shirts. You wear 12 shirts.
Make you look buff. Yeah.
You have to do t-shirt changes because people expect to see their product ripped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've seen people do that. It's the funniest thing. It's so crazy.
You know what I didn't mention? Cross Colors, man.
Cross Colors. Yeah. Skate Division. Cross Colors SD.
Yeah. And you get involved in the apparel design with that?
Actually, yeah. When I met Carl, I met Carl years and years and years ago, and he was the original owner of Cross Colors, and then he purchased the brand back, and he wanted to do the SD section. Yeah. And so he just basically said, Pep, let's hook up, let's get this brand going. So I said, cool, let's do it. So by doing it, we created the SD division, and then we were coming up with the logos. I got my friends to help me out with the logos, and we were designing it, and it's all ready to go, man.
Cross Colors SD Division. Yeah. I'm going to check that out. Thanks, man.
Thank you, bro.
Cool. We'll be right back. Blackbirds from the 1975 City Life LP. Little jazz funk from Washington, D.C. Next up, an overlooked tune, Amnesty, Trouble Will Remain. From Indianapolis, 1973. Enjoy, loved ones. Amnesty is the name of the band. Trouble Will Remain from 1973. Anyway, Pep, thanks so much for coming down, dude.
Thank you, man. This was super duper cool. Yeah. Super good music, man. Bring it back.
Thank
memories.
You. Thanks.
Like, seriously.
Pep Williams, he heads up the Cross Color Skate Division, Psych Ward Skate Shop down there in Fairfax. PepWilliams.com for his photography and probably some other things. You can hit him up on Instagram, Facebook. Or you'll probably just see him driving by pretty soon.
Or just on my board, hopping curbs, you know.
Thanks so much, Dean.
Thank you, bro.
And thank you, loved ones. See you next week.